paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie coming up at 7:15. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30 here on the program. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, big game for the Titans this weekend in terms of trying to stay alive in the conversation of the division, the wild card race. They lose this one, and it's pretty much over at that point. It may be over anyway, but if you lose this one, it's you're in deep trouble at that point.
I say that just means it's a must-win against the Carolina Panthers.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so.
Then you're over if you lose that one.
Jacksonville 6-3. They just got destroyed by San Francisco at home. It is interesting. They've you look at what they've done at home. They're 2-3. On the road, they're 4-0.
4-0 away.
So
interesting.
Not a very good
opposite
home team.
Issue with the Titans.
Yeah, something's got to give. Yeah. On Sunday down there in Jacksonville, but they're 6-3. Houston is 5-4. Colts are 5-5. Houston with a big win on the road against Cincinnati this past weekend. We know how well C.J. Stroud is playing and continues to play. Can the Texans, can they do this? Can they actually win the division in C.J. Stroud's rookie year? Given the state of this division right now, what we've seen from Stroud, their roster, all those things, do we think the Texans have a legitimate chance to pull this off and win the AFC South in Stroud's rookie year?
I'm not going to count them out right now. They're you know, if you go to you go through their whole season, they start out like you'd expect. They just get blown out at Baltimore, and then at home against the Colts. And what I figured, okay, here's the toilet bowl. You know, the Colts beat them 31-20. So they start out. It's like, yeah, okay, that's what we thought. They're going to be bad, and it's a rebuild, and it continues, and we'll see if the quarterback's good. That's what it's about. Well, you know, since then, of course, they are 5-2. Which started with a 37-17 win in Jacksonville. So they already have the win over the Jags, and they still get them coming to their place.
Yep.
Which is coming up Thanksgiving weekend, so it's coming up soon here. You know, they got the Cardinals at home. You would think then they'd get themselves to 6-4. Also included, like you said, they beat the Bengals. The Bucs was a thriller. You know, blew out the Steelers.
Yep.
I mean, those back-to-back games where they just go blow out the Jags and Steelers, like, what is happening? Then they lose to the Falcons. Oh, then they lose to the Panthers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. When the Texans look back at this season, and I still am going to pick Jacksonville to win the division, man, they're going to look at that Panthers game and say, dude, how did you lose to the Panthers?
Yeah.
But they have the second-best team, and like I said, they've got the tiebreaker with the Jags. So, I mean, you look at, they got three straight games here coming up. You know, Cards, Jags, Broncos, all at home. I mean, that's going to be actual excitement. When's the last time that the city of Houston has been excited about anything other than whining about the Titans wearing Oilers uniforms?
You know, it's been a while.
In a football realm. I mean, I think that place, and that place can get loud. That place can be a good atmosphere. You got, you know, a chance to have some huge games, and all of a sudden, you know, if they're 8-4 at that point, then it's like at the Jets, at the Titans, and then they play the Titans two or three games around the Browns, and they finish with the Colts. I mean, right now, I would project them to win. I mean, they're going to win 10 games, I think.
I mean, that's the thing. The division could come down to, between those two teams, who plays better against the Titans. They both have the Titans twice. So Jacksonville has the Titans two more times, including the last game of the year. So the last game of the year will be here at Nissan Stadium. And then two times against the Texans coming up. Like, if the Titans sneak up and win one of those games, that could end up being the difference in the division at that point.
How exciting, Titans fans.
I'm sure you're really excited about that.
Your team gets to
you
play
can help
spoiler.
The Houston Texans win the division.
Yeah, exactly. But they're, look, they – You know, on the rigged Jared versus Joe last night, that Jared somehow won. We were talking about, of course, Jared's like, "Oh, I want Bobby Slowick over Vrabel. Yes, I want Bobby Slowick as my coach." You know, he's the Texans
offensive impersonations continue to improve.
Thank you. But and of course, to me, I think that's ridiculous. But it's a pretty good coaching pedigree. I think he is a good OC. Stroud looks great. They have some good receivers. The offensive line, you know, it's solid. And obviously, D'Amico Ryan's the defensive guy, and they've drafted okay there too, and they're not bad defensively. So, I mean, if you stink for as long as they stunk, like, you should come out of it at some point, right? I just didn't think it would be this year. I figured you give the new coaching staff a year, get the rookie kind of going, and then try to build around him the next year. You start to become good, but they're a year ahead of schedule in my mind.
How much credit are we giving Davis Mills for helping C.J. Stroud rise above expectations?
There we go.
Had to get one in, sorry.
No, he's not. C.J.'s not looking over his shoulder. Because then he'd look and he'd like, wait, I just see someone's chest.
Skyler on the text line says, I shouldn't be nervous about betting $3,000 on the Jags to win on Sunday, right? Like, I'm wondering why everybody isn't doing it. I'm not. Yeah, that's a you do you, man.
Money line?
Yeah, might need to call the money line. Might need to call the hotline.
That's true. You might need to call the hotline. Yeah. Skyler, 3,000. Calm down.
I mean, I will say, and we talked about this yesterday with Kaharski, not that I think – I mean, look, the Titans could go down there and win. It's the NFL. So it's not like the Titans can't go down there and win in Jacksonville.
No. Yeah.
It's not great to me that Jacksonville just got completely embarrassed last week in terms of what that could mean this week for the Titans. Like, I think Jacksonville's better than they are anyway, clearly. But the fact that they just got beat by 31 at home, I would hope, like, if Jacksonville is the team that people think they are, there's a little bit of focus and a little bit of anger they may be getting ready to take out this week.
Yeah, I would say so.
One-arm push-ups?
I'd agree with that. I mean, because they had won five in a row before then. I thought the Bills win was a big deal over in wherever in Europe they were. The Bills, you know, look a little underwhelming at this point. I mean, they've had a really soft schedule. But the win at Pittsburgh, you know, was solid. I guess you wonder if a game like that shakes your confidence at all. But, yeah, they're going to be ticked off. There's no doubt about that. Still, I mean, the Titans winning this game. Like, the Titans winning this game to me is quite a bit. Yeah, I'd say quite a bit more likely than the Vols being Georgia.
Well, yeah.
Fair?
I mean, it's the NFL, right?
NFL.
I think it's, yes, it's more like, I mean, Jacksonville opened up as a 6.5-point favorite. I'd have to go back and look and see what they are right now. But it's not like this is some, first off, Jacksonville is good. I don't think they're great. Like, you know, Kansas City's a great team. I think Baltimore is better than Jacksonville is. Like, Jacksonville, I think, is good. I don't know that they're an elite team in the AFC. So the Titans have a chance to go on the road if they can somewhat block, which is a huge question. I get that. But it's not like it's impossible for the Titans to go down there and win.
Right. Now, to your point of your question here, you know, the Jaguars, obviously, they rise up and they overtake the Titans. They got the young QB.
Yep.
And so they're the clear favorite, and some people are picking them the Super Bowl and all that stuff this year. You know, what's the feeling in Jacksonville if the Texans win the AFC South this year and just leapfrog them immediately?
It's not good.
And their quarterback, a rookie, is outplaying the Jacksonville third-year quarterback. What does that mean?
I mean, I guess you could still make the playoffs if you're Jacksonville there and just, I guess, see what you do once you get there. But it would not be encouraging if I'm a Jags fan that, Houston has landed on a quarterback that immediately produced better results than ours did. And then what about the Titans? Like, what about Will Levis? What's that going to look like? What about Anthony Richardson? Like, it would not make me feel very good. This should be, especially now that the Titans have transitioned to a rookie, this should be Jacksonville's time in the division. And if it's not, that would be pretty concerning to me if I'm a Jags fan.
Right. Like the Titans and Colts can both kind of, you know, it's like the Titans just switched to Levis. The Colts, Richardson's out all year. So they you know, even if Houston wins, like, well, you know, wait till next year. But for Jacksonville, that would be a big,
Be a gut punch.
Bleep sandwich.
Yeah, it would not, yeah, it would not be good.
Sorry, I was thinking about the Michigan coaching staff after games.
Just glad you bleeped.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
Good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. We'll look ahead to a big matchup with Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks coming in on Saturday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds with a couple days off here. Practice yesterday. They'll have the day off today. Back at it on Saturday for a nice little matinee matchup when Chicago comes to town. Matinee hockey is the best hockey. Love it. Looking forward to that one coming up on Saturday. And to help us talk more about the Preds, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. Derek, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. I appreciate it. So, Derek, obviously you and Brunette coming into a new team and a new situation here. What have you learned about this group through the first 15 games? Obviously, the results lately have not been going your way. But overall, as you guys are trying to get more familiar with the team and the roster that you have, what have you learned about this group to this point?
Well, I mean, I can tell you one thing: we haven't had to complain about effort. I mean, you know, this is a young group, and they are hungry, and they're willing to kind of go the extra mile, and you know, it's a lot coming in here and implementing some, you know, Andrew's new systems, and you know, kind of pushing the pace and the style of play that you know, he knows can be successful. I think it's been you know, tough on the guys trying to get up to speed, and you know, I know that feeling. But like I said, on the same token, these guys have, you know, they've really, there's only been a couple games I'd say that, you know, we really didn't deserve to win, and that's not, you know, take anything away from the other teams that are obviously trying to do the same thing we're doing. It's a very difficult league to win in, and we're just on the other side of it right now. But again, it's been a lot of fun. You know, coming in here in training camp, you can kind of feel the energy and the willingness of the guys. So, you know, looking forward to, you know, this next segment coming up.
Yeah, so Derek, obviously recently you guys have had some multi-goal leads that you've let go. I know there's always multiple factors and things like that, but as a coaching staff, is there anything you guys can identify as like, if we change this, then that stops happening?
Yeah, you know, I think if you go back to the Calgary game, I think that was probably a little misleading. You know, I think we did have a 2-goal lead and, you know, probably didn't deserve it. And, you know, there is a saying in hockey that it's the worst lead in hockey. And I think it kind of caught up to us a little bit. You know, moving forward to the Arizona game, you know, that's kind of, yeah, the last couple are on us. I think, you know, these are games that, it's not necessarily, you know, what maybe structurally something. I mean, yeah, on a daily basis, we're trying to grow and get better. But, you know, I just think when you're a young team, you've got to find those moments to put teams away. And when we've had those 2-goal leads, we've had moments, not to be greedy, but to make it 3-0 or to make it 3-1. You know, obviously there's going to be momentum shifts in games, and obviously teams are going to push back. You know, if we were down 2-0, obviously between the first, we'd, you know, kind of make some adjustments and make sure we were ready to go for the second. So just learning, you know, those moments in the game that are so important, and that's where good teams need to dig in and they shut them down, or they dig in and they get maybe a big goal on the power play, or you know, just find a way to grab that momentum back. And that's, you know, something that, like I said, you look at the teams that have success over and over again are great at doing. And we've just got to kind of, you know, learn from our mistakes and identify those moments and be better.
Derek, Philip Forsberg, a guy that you're familiar with, you played against him in your playing days, obviously, 18 points, 15 games. He's got 5 goals in the last 3 games. And we've seen him do this around here before. You know, when he starts to score, sometimes it can really come in bunches. But overall, just his overall game, the offensive impact he's having right now, what do you make of the way that Forsberg has played for you guys to this point?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously a very dangerous, talented player who's, you know, give a lot of credit to guys like him because, He's done it for so many years, like you alluded to. And, you know, when guys consistently do that, you know, when other teams are consistently putting their best checking lines out against a player every night and still find ways to be as effective as he had, it obviously, you know, speaks volumes on just how talented of a guy he is. I think, Phil, you know, just like a lot of guys, you know, it's been, again, a learning curve and transition period for him. And I thought, you know, through the first five or six games, you know, he was really kind of trying to feel his way through and get acquainted with our system. And now, you know, he's just become a force, and he's a big guy for someone who can be so slippery and skilled, and obviously has, you know, one of the best shots in the game. But when he uses his body as well, and he uses his size, and he kind of drives through those lanes and opens up the ice for O'Reilly and Nyquist and guys like that, he not only is just effective individually, but, you know, he makes our team universally better. So, you know, he's definitely, you know, and again, you know, being hurt a little bit last year, I think, you know, it takes time. It's such a fast league and the timing of everything. So, you know, it's been really fun to watch him kind of find his groove again, and he's been a big asset and a great leader for us.
Obviously a huge loss for you guys with Tommy Novak getting put on IR. Cody Glass is back, so that's, you know, at least that times out well in terms of, you know, having him and getting him back into things. What's your expectation for Cody Glass? What are your impressions of him so far as a player?
Well, Cody's a super talented kid, and you know, obviously a great teammate, and you know, you can just see it on Cody's face that you know, he wants to be that, you know, that top line or top, you know, two line centerman, and he's got all the you know, the tools to do so. Very similar to Tommy Novak. I mean, you know, both those guys, I think, are going to be, you know, top line centers in this league for a long time. I mean, both of them just kind of feeling their way through. You know, we've talked a lot about just with the two of them, just the little things, right? I mean, you know, just starting in the face-off circle, you know, let's be strong there, and then let's be guys that, you know, are going to be on the ice, not only when we're up a goal, but when we're down a goal. You want, you know, as a centerman, you want to be there in those moments if we need one in a big face-off, or if we need to, you know, close out a game with the other team pulling their goalie. Let's start there. Let's be, you know, a 200-foot player. Let's be responsible, and then let's build our game from there. And I think, you know, obviously Novi has that offensive upside, and Cody does as well. I think Cody's, you know, proven that he's a responsible player, and I think the next step for him is just, you know, finding ways to impact the game offensively. But it'll come. Like I said, he's got the tools. He's ambitious and a hard worker. And, you know, usually when you have that combination of things, it's just a matter of time where you kind of, you know, and in fairness too, you know, he's been kind of playing with different players, and that's kind of what happens, you know, when you have a few injuries early, everyone's still trying to find, you know, where they fit in and find some chemistry, but I'm very confident Cody will.
Derek McKenzie with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, Derek, last thing for you here. You know, from my perspective in the media, it's been really interesting to hear Andrew Brunette kind of talk the game and think the game and hear kind of his approach to things. From your standpoint, as you've been in meetings with him, as obviously your relationship goes back with him, what do you make of Andrew Brunette's coaching style, and what have you learned about him as a head coach through your time with him to this point?
Well, I mean, I've known Andrew, you know, probably 30 years. And, you know, I got an opportunity just to, you know, he's a little bit older than me, but kind of took me under his wing. And it started, you know, just in the summertime with, like, work ethic and just, you know, the amount of time that he put in to preparing for seasons. And I was able to kind of, you know, hop on his coattail and learn a lot from him. You know, Andrew's always had this great ability to kind of slow the game down, even though it's so fast. You know, it's like, you know, he can see it in slow motion. He can see the pockets. He can see the plays. He can see the lanes. And I think, you know, those are a lot of the things, especially on the power play, that he tries to translate to the guys. Because obviously, you know, this game just continues to get faster and faster. But I think, you know, more than anything, regardless of all the X's and O's, that he can be so good at, I think, you know, just the passion for the game, the love for the game. You know, I mean, it's a guy that just loves to be around the rink. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, You know, he could be off doing something else. He had a, you know, a prolific career and has been involved in different organizations. This is just about him wanting to win. This is about him, you know, enjoying the challenge and you know, some of the daily rigors that come with going through these kinds of things. And I think he's been in this situation before. And, you know, if it was easy, right, I don't think maybe any of us would do it. I think these are the challenges that get guys like him that are so competitive excited. And I think it's contagious. And, you know, I know every day I'm learning something new. And, you know, I think it's just a great lesson. I got a son that's, you know, 12 years old and daughter that's 14 playing for the junior Preds. And I think more than anything, every day, if you can kind of inject some of that passion, some of that joy into the game, you know, sometimes that's exactly what you need. And that's you get the result that you wanted from something as simple as that.
Well, Derek, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Looking forward to talking with you throughout the season, and good luck on Saturday. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys, anytime. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Absolutely. Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Interesting stuff there. Like, the being around Brunette, he does think the game, even like somebody like me who's not around him every day in the coaching setting, but just from like the media standpoint, it's fascinating hearing him like explain things. So, it's been a really interesting start to his tenure to this point. Obviously, the results not going well for the Predators right now, but I think the Predators have gotten one of these young coaches that is pretty interesting moving forward.
Yeah, pretty sharp, and the results are good from a media perspective.
They are,
which is really what matters.
What matters is
for us. Yeah,
yeah.
Good answers. You know, and interesting stuff.
Yeah,
it's always great, right?
That's what we're looking for.
It's not always the case.
Not always the case, for sure. Coming up next, a surprising stat, I think, for a lot of Titans fans as regards to their offense that I think might take some people off guard. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We're standing on a business on Robbie and Rex Road. Standing on business.
Stand on business.
As Eli Drinkwitz would say.
Whatever the heck that means. Josh, I stand on business. I'm running away from you now.
If you missed it, the Eli Drinkwitz was mic'd up in Tennessee's win against Missouri's win against Tennessee. And nice little midfield. Conversation's a stretch because it wasn't a conversation. It was Eli Drinkwitz walking up to Josh Heupel, extending a handshake and saying, "We stand on business, Josh," and then immediately turning around and running the other direction.
Bye.
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
Heupel had like zero reaction. What?
Yeah. But I guess so. They took care of their business.
He took care of their business.
So there you go.
Way to go.
Hey,
Eli.
Got him back.
He got him.
He got him back. He got blown out two times. And we were talking about this and just, because you were mentioning it'd be good to see the Vols put a million on them, you know, whatever, in Neyland, but they will not play next year. So the rematch of Heupel and Eli, we'll have to wait till whenever that will be. Next year, do you know next year's Vols opponents real fast?
I don't.
Well, at home, they've got Alabama and Florida, so that's lining up, and they got Kentucky, so those are three that, if things didn't change, would be coming in. And they also have Mississippi State coming in. That's a nice scheduling break. Speaking of scheduling breaks, their road games include Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Oklahoma. Now, the Oklahoma
game. I did
know
that one.
Ooh, is that going to be fun? Josh Heupel's homecoming. You know, Oklahoma's having a better year, but not
the
year they hoped. Right. So, is it going to be Josh come home parade next year?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Vols, you know, 8-4, then the Oklahoma fans are also like, well, you know. Yeah. Like last year, they were like, please come take over for this guy. He stinks.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to wait and see. There's a stat out there that I think some Titans fans would be surprised by based on the way that this season has gone. Because honestly, I was a little surprised by it when I saw it. Derrick Henry at the moment is second in the NFL in rushing. Christian McCaffrey's at number one with 747 yards. Derrick Henry is at number two with 625 yards on the season. Now, you know, having said that, Josh Jacobs is 3 yards behind him. Travis Etienne has 618 yards. Zach Moss has 617 yards. Shout out to the Titans for getting Zach Moss into the top five.
Le'Veon Jr.
In rushing, Le'Veon Jr. So, I mean, it's really close. I mean, from spots 2 through 5, 8 yards separate those guys. But Derrick Henry, at the moment, number 2 in the NFL in rushing. It doesn't feel like that to me, Joe. Like, it doesn't feel like that should be the case based on the way that things have gone so far this year. But here he is, even with everything that we've seen, number 2 in the NFL in rushing.
Yeah. I'm surprised. Well, last week I noticed that he was, and then I just assumed he fell down the list with the 25-yard game, but he didn't. So, or what did he have? Like 25, something, right?
24, I believe.
24, yeah. Whatever it was. Yeah.
Something like that.
So, and, you know, like Josh Jacobs has played 10 games as opposed to Derek's 9. So, yep. It's Deebo Samuel's back for the Niners. Maybe if the Niners give him a little bit more work in the run game, give McCaffrey a little more work in the pass game, Derrick Henry's got a chance. He's going to have, you know, he's going to have some huge games. He's averaging 4.2 a carry, which obviously is one of the worst averages per carry of his career, if not the worst. McCaffrey's at 4.9. McCaffrey has 5 more attempts and 122 more yards, yep, playing for a much, much, much better team.
Correct.
But still, you think about the idea that Derrick Henry could potentially squeeze a rushing title out of this season. Give him the gold jacket.
Yeah.
Just give it. Hand it to him.
So he's at 4.2 an attempt. So, you know, he had the ridiculous season in 2020 where he was 5.4 an attempt. And since then, he's gone 4.3, 4.4, and now is at 4.2. So 2021, 4.3 an attempt. Last year, 4.4 an attempt, and now at 4.2 an attempt with an atrocious offensive line in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, it's obviously, in 2020, everything was working. You know, everything worked well for the offense. So, and he was pre-broken foot, you know, it was all – but that's a ridiculous, you know, 5.4 for a full season when you rush for 2,000 yards is a ridiculous average per carry.
Also, an interesting number that I just ran. So he's got 148 carries so far this year through 9 games. That's on pace for 279, if you want to round up, 280 carries for the season, which is pretty low for him, right? Like, so, I mean, he only had 219 carries in 2021. But he played 8 games. So you're talking about, I mean, he ended up with almost 450 carries that year. Last year, he had 349. In 2020, for his 2,000-yard season, he had 378. And right now, he's on pace for around 280. So you're talking about, you know, 60 less carries than he had last year. That's a pretty significant number.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that does feel that way.
That does feel that way, right? For sure.
I mean, we've had a few games where it was more, a little bit more like it's been, but that does feel that way. And, hey, when he gets 20, they win. I'm just saying, when he gets 20, they win.
He does.
By the way, I was looking at that yards per carry. I just was curious. I did not realize this. I went back to Barry Sanders' 2,000-yard season, 97. 6.1 a carry.
Good gracious.
That's in the NFL.
Golly.
It's absolutely absurd. 5.0 for his career. What's Derek's career?
4.7.
4.7. Pretty darn good, man. Pretty good. So, you know, if they can figure out a way to get the ball out and get somebody other than DeAndre Hopkins making some plays. Kyle Phillips has started to do that a little bit. Get Burks back. You know, you have some level of balance. You have a chance, more of a chance, to give Derrick Henry some running lanes.
He's on pace for almost 1,200 yards. Yeah. 1,181 yards is the official pace that he's on right now. So, you know, I'm sure he'll have some games where he gets closer to 100. I'm sure Sunday was probably not the last time either, Joe, this year that we saw him get 12 carries for 30 yards this year. Like, there's probably going to be a kind of a mixing and matching of those stat lines as the rest of the season goes on here, but on pace for around 1,200 yards.
I mean, other than, yeah, so then that would give him, you know, that'd give him 5 out of 6 years with more than 1,000, and, you know, unfortunate for him that the 1 year he missed it by 63 yards because he missed the last 9 games.
Yeah, he may have ran for 2,000 yards that year.
Yeah. But beyond the obvious priority of this season for the Titans is Will Levis and keeping him healthy, getting him experience, all that stuff. I'd say number two is just getting Derrick Henry some numbers, right? Yep. Get Derrick Henry some numbers.
How much of him being number two in the league right now rushing the ball do you think has to do with how teams use running backs right now? Because, I mean, you know, Jacobs is number three. Like you said, he's played 10 games at this point. McCaffrey's number one, a really good player. And number two has a fantastic offensive line in front of him. But there's so much running back by committee right now in the league that you just don't see running backs get a ton of carries in games anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot more running back by committee, obviously. It used to be most teams had a primary back, and so it was different. But it's funny, look at, like, Josh Jacobs has 186 carries.
Yeah.
So he's on pace for a big number. He's averaging 3.3 a carry, which is stunning to me. And I'm stunned to see ETN's numbers. He's got 160. He's got 12 more carries than Derrick Henry in the same number of games, and he's averaging 3.9. Every time I see the Jags, he's making some big play. Yeah. But obviously, there's a lot of negative and, you know, not much runs with him going too. But those guys are getting volume, you know, at running back. But, yeah, there aren't many. I mean, there aren't many guys. I mean, you got Swift has a, you know, 135 is a pretty high number. Mixon, 137. Saquon's at 139. Kenneth Walker's. I mean, there's still guys who are going to end up, you know, kind of pushing 300 carries. But, yeah, there's way fewer teams that look at it that way. So you take that. I mean, that has to be considered.
Yeah. Raheem Mostert, 109 carries, 605 yards, 5.6 a carry right now. I guess when you, as a team, you're running for like 500 yards against Denver in that one game.
Yeah, that will inflate things. But, you know, getting a Shane back too will take his numbers down a little bit, but will make that offense, I think, pretty lethal again. It's already lethal, but that guy is fast.
And the Titans get to go play them on the road later in the year on Monday Night Football.
They'll all be there for Monday Night Football.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that next. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 1 o'clock at home against UTEP, pregame beginning at 12 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Also join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 11 matchup against the Jaguars and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yep. We're staying on business, Josh.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
Jared, are you trying to be cool?
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexrode's rant of the day. Joseph, with Vrabel chastising you about your hands in the background, I turn things over to you.
I should go over there and, like, say, hey, look at this, Vrabes.
I mean, that would be a legitimate question.
Scarred hand.
With the scar you have on your hand. That would be a legitimate question from Vrabel to ask you, like, what has happened with your hands?
Yeah,
exactly. What are you doing?
Maybe I'll have to go over there. Maybe I'll have to go over tomorrow and just, like, put it in his face. For those who don't know, because someone didn't rinse off their plate, I was trying to scrub stuff off a plate which snapped in half and then gouged my hand.
It's a tough one.
I probably should have gotten stitches. Oh, well. Anyway, I want to talk today. We didn't no Clark Lee this week. Clark Lee and Vanderbilt is on the idle or off week. Both of those are acceptable terms. So I'm going to speak about Clark Lee also because I wrote something today about the bad year. It's been a really, really bad year for the Titans and Commodores. An underwhelming year for the Vols. Maybe it is unfair that I could lump them together, but whatever. It's too late now, okay? But the Commodores in particular, I want to talk about them because I'm actually a little bit – I think I mentioned this briefly maybe a week or two ago, but Like, it's actually kind of stunning to me. I don't see, like, Vanderbilt fans show up on message board geniuses a lot, as unlike other fan bases that are there frequently. That fan bases I will not name. Actually, Michigan's fan base is, I think, leading the way in message board genius posts at this point.
Right now they are, yes.
Yeah, but there's actually, like, let me just ask any Vanderbilt fans out there. Like, do you actually think there's a chance that Clark Lea gets fired at the end of this season? Because apparently, like, a lot of people do, and they're, like, talking about here's the coaching hot board, and like, are you serious?
We got people texting us today about Jimbo Fisher to Vanderbilt.
Well, I love that. Now, that was a joke, right?
I don't know.
I mean, I hope. I mean, Jimbo Fisher as a volunteer coach.
Yeah.
You know? Just, like, I mean, he's good with money. Just coach for free and see what he can do. Yeah, look, this is where it also gets, like, if you're yelling at someone because what they think is ridiculous, which is that Clark Lea would have any chance of being fired, it's like you're defending, you know, this season or whatever. I'm not saying Vanderbilt fans shouldn't be upset and discouraged. It's hard to see. It's just where this is going, I don't know. I'm not counting out anything, but it's a very disappointing third season. But I am saying, like, you got to be in complete fantasy land if you think there's any chance that he would be fired. And I don't think he should be fired. I mean, you have to understand what he took over, and you have to understand how difficult it is to turn around. Maybe he won't. As we talked about earlier on the show, a year ago, you're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, and you're seeing these two huge wins, and obviously this year has been a big disappointment. But, yeah, Clark Lea's going to be the coach of Vanderbilt football, not just next year. I'll tell you with confidence he'll be the coach of Vanderbilt football in 2025. And then I think it's fair to evaluate what he's done, where he is. This is a program, and maybe an old-school notion to talk about, like, five-year plan. You know, because he talked about 10-year plan, but five-year, you know, like, give a coach 5 years. It doesn't happen, especially in the SEC, a lot. Like, people talking about Billy Napier getting fired. I get it. But this job, this situation he inherited, it's absolutely a five-year situation.
I don't know that I agree with you that he's going to be there in 2025.
You think next year he could be fired?
I think he could. That's why I think this year is such a disappointment, because, and I know you can't think this way if you're them, so I get it. But I'm looking at their schedule next year. They're getting ready to go 2-10 here. They've got Virginia Tech as a non-conference game next year at Nissan Stadium. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just, like, totally guarantee things a year out. Probably a loss. You have Norfolk State, SMU, Georgia State. So let's say you find a way to cobble together three non-conference wins. Listen to their conference schedule next year. At Auburn, at Kentucky, at LSU, at Missouri, home against Alabama, home against South Carolina, home against Tennessee, home against Texas. They ain't winning an SEC game. It's not happening. They're not winning an SEC game.
I mean, the thing is, you say that, but it's like what?
Joe, they're not winning an SEC game.
Right, but South Carolina at home, wouldn't that be like as good a chance as you'd have?
They
in
just
the league?
Got beat by 41 points by South Carolina.
I understand, but what I'm saying is, if you go through the whole SEC, what better game could you have than South Carolina at home?
Arkansas,
yeah,
somebody.
Arkansas.
Mississippi State. They're not winning an SEC game.
Yeah. Well, they may not.
So you're looking at a 2-10 season. And right now, as I'm looking at their 2024 schedule, I think best case scenario might be 3 wins. So if you go 2-10 this year and they win 3 games next year, I don't know that he's making it to 2025. That's why I think this year is so disappointing, because if they made the progress that I thought they would make this year, and maybe if they didn't even reach a bowl game, which, by the way, that was the talk heading into the season, and they said that their goal was to reach the postseason. Let's say you got 5 wins this year and you won a couple SEC games. You could at least say, all right, well, you've made progress every year to this point. You feel good about where you're at. And next year, look at the schedule. You're playing LSU and Alabama and Texas, Tennessee, all these guys. If you go 2-10 this year and then you follow it up with 3 wins next year, this fan base is going to be irate.
Yeah, irate. I think apathy is almost a bigger concern. But so you may be right. I mean, I think at that point, we'll see. It's like when you get to that point, we can project it now. But when you get to that point, it's probably worse than even, you know, right? Actually going through it would be worse than. But you saying declaring that they won't win, like, we just don't. I don't know what they're. I mean, college football. I mean, I don't know what they'll do in the portal. They have limitations other people don't have, but they could do something in the portal. AJ Swan could turn into a star. It's only his third year of college football, right? Like, I mean, obviously that has to happen. They have to. The big thing is Clark Lee's been recruiting for them at a higher level than they historically have recruited. You were hoping to see more evidence of that this year. There are some good young players out there. But year four, is it possible that there's a bunch of guys who all of a sudden take big steps and show that? It's possible. I just don't know what they're going to be. I don't know what they're going to be next year. And, I mean, yeah, Arkansas, Mississippi State would be your – I guess those would probably be your best two. But South Carolina at home, I understand what just happened to them. I mean, they got crapped on by – right now they are awful. But, you know, South Carolina at home is still one of the better games you could ask for in an SEC schedule to possibly win a game, right? Now, a lot of those other games are terrible, and they probably won't be competitive. I don't know what they're going to be. It doesn't look good. I would totally agree with anybody who says that, and I agree with you that the fan base will feel a certain way if he wins two or three games next year. I still am not convinced that he won't get the fifth year. In fact, I still would probably bet he would.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.